Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I see the games taking place. I do think we'll probably be about a month late. There could be some teams and some schools within conferences that don't want to play. For instance, if the hard line in California is what it is and UCLA determines they're not going to open their school, well, then they may not compete in the Pac-12. But I noticed Oregon has decided they're opening their doors, Missouri, Purdue. So you're seeing these announcements being made. I believe we'll have a season. Will everyone participate? Maybe not, but I think we will have football in the fall.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Tim Brando. We talked to him about a week ago, and we are delighted to welcome in Brett McMurphy. He, of course, America's own college football insider, now with the Stadium Network, and he joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great, and you know, I got to tell you, I read the breakdown from, I believe it was a business professor, the guy who runs the sports business program at Washington University in St. Louis, and he estimates that the 65 schools in the Power Five conferences would miss $4 billion if there's no college football season, and the thought that went through my head is too big to fail. Am I wrong about that? I mean, it just seems like that would be an absolute wreck for them, and they're going to do everything they can to play.
Well, they are, but they can only do that if their local state government and health officials deem it safe enough for them to return, and obviously the university presidents. I know it's probably hard for some people to believe, but they're not going to endanger the student athletes as far as the health and safety. And if they cannot guarantee or at least not compromise the student athletes' health and safety, then they won't play. I think they'll find a way to get to that point, but I think that's going to be the most challenging hurdle for them to overcome. But I think once they do figure that out, you know, because, for instance, are conferences going to have the same testing guidelines, the same protocols? Are they going to, or will they be a school by school basis? Well, will some schools require you to go through steps 1 through 10, and another school you have to go through 20 different steps? Those are a lot of the things they're trying to figure out right now. But once they get to the point where it is safe for the student athletes and the students to return, then absolutely, yeah, they will play. People ask me, what's the best option for the season? The best option is they start on time, they play 12 games. If that doesn't happen, then the best option is literally when everybody gets the all clear, when they can start and put that option into place. If that means start a week late, if that means start a month late, if that means, you know, have to start after Christmas break, then that's what they'll do. So the most frustrating part during this entire procedure is not knowing when everyone will get the all clear, and kind of what Tim mentioned briefly in the lead-in is that, you know, you may have different parts of the country starting at different times. You may have, you've got 11 teams in the, excuse me, 14 teams in the Big Ten spread over 11 states. You could have teams in the same conference that can't start have the same starting date. So that's some of the challenges that they've got to overcome. But yeah, because of the financial implications, they will find a way to play somehow, some way. If that means they have no fans, half of the stadium filled, whatever the scenario is.
Well, yeah, I think, Brett, that's a great point. And also, you see a lot of these colleges now announcing that they're going to start in the fall in terms of being open for students, and then end their semester before Thanksgiving, eliminate the fall break week because of trying to get everybody, you know, through the semester. And I think college football is paying attention. But I do wonder this, when you're looking at the NFL, it's easy to say, all right, well, it's a television show, the television rights fees, and you're less dependent on the crowd for the atmosphere and the part of the experience and the revenue. College football is a different calculus, and I think you look at that, and I think every program is going to have a different sort of, you know, math equation. But how do you view with fans versus without fans, and how that will factor into any decision that's made?
Well, if we get down and the two options are no football, or we're playing football and there are no fans in the stands, the only question is what time is kickoff? Because again, as you guys referenced earlier, not having football, you know, I talked to over 100 ADs in the past month, and I asked them that scenario, and the words I got was devastating, catastrophic, doomsday. One AD summed it up best, said, if we don't have football, we're all bleeped. And so, yeah, they prefer to have fans, even a small amount of fans. But if they simply can't have fans, they're not going to say, look, we can't play because there's no fans. They have to play, and they would be able to recoup, you know, at least their media rights money or some of it, but they would take a hit without the fans, without the game day revenue, ticket sales. Obviously, you know, college football, a big difference between that and the NFL is these are majority of them are college towns, and they basically their economy is based on 6 or 7 Saturdays in the fall where you've got a ton of activity, ton of visitors spending money in hotels and restaurants and bars, etc. So, you know, yeah, that would have a big impact on those towns also. But yeah, they're not going to play because they can't have fans. They will go ahead and play, you know, however they can. If the safety's okay, because again, some revenue for the college athletic departments is a lot better than no revenue.
Brett, are there any certainties at this point? Is there anything that we can kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah. What
There's
is
one certainty? One certainty. This college football season will be unlike any other in our lifetime. And that's it. I'm serious. Everything else is up in the air. We don't know anything. We don't know when it's going to start. We can't say it's going to be 12 games. We can't say it's going to be conference only. We don't know. I assume we'll have a college football playoff. We probably won't have all the bowl games played. I mean, there's a number of factors, and what you guys mentioned about schools, you know, changing their fall semester, coming in early, leaving, or ending the semester early too. You know, you've got football games that are scheduled after all the students return home. I'm guessing those won't be impacted. Maybe they will. I again, you asked me a great question, and I answer it, and then I have 10 more questions for myself. So yeah. Just imagine what these guys are going through trying to figure out all these different hypothetical situations.
Well, it's not an enviable spot for an athletic director, especially one in an FBS school. And Brett, you tweeted out yesterday a list of 7 schools that have begun eliminating Olympic sports because of the financial hardship that they're facing, anticipating, you know, the drop off in revenue. And that's how important football and men's basketball are to this equation. And my fear is that, you know, 3 of those 7 are in the Mid-American Conference, and we understand some of those realities, but that's going on all over the country, even at programs in, you know, Power 5 conferences. Is that going to be, unfortunately, the new normal? Is this going to be, you know, even more so and more pronounced than it is now, men's basketball and football and everything else, and having schools cut sports at the expense of trying to balance their budget?
Yeah, unfortunately it will. And this is really more, these cuts are kind of made more for just the financial impact that we've encountered so far. I mean, if we don't have football, or if we only have half a football season, you're going to see there will be too many schools eliminating sports to list them. I mean, that's the reality of it. These are mainly based on not having the NCAA basketball tournament. And I think some may have been proactive, kind of, you know, looking towards the future of reduced revenues and cutting costs. But yeah, if there's a huge slash in football revenue, you're going to see multiple cuts. As you mentioned, the Mid-American, some schools have cut Olympic sports. They've decided to eliminate conference tournaments in a lot of their Olympic sports. I think you'll see other Group of Five conferences, Mountain West, Conference USA, Sun Belt, et cetera. I think you'll see them cut some conference tournaments in Olympic sports. You've seen Power Five schools take pay cuts from the president down to the football and basketball coaches. For example, Arizona coach Kevin Sumlin taking a 20% pay cut. I mean, that's really significant. Western Michigan coach Tim Lester out of the MAC taking a 25% pay cut. You know, so this is going to impact everybody. It's just going to be in different ways. But when we finally figure out how big of a hit they're going to take in football revenue, unfortunately, I think you're going to see 10 times as many cuts across the country.
Wow. That is just very depressing to think of. Brett, as we look at this, when you see schools, and I don't want to be overly cynical about it, but when you see schools doing this early return thing, that, you know, coming back in August, obviously the thinking is that somehow the warmer weather is better, somehow trying to get students into school before the flu season hits is a real thing. Is that also, again, cynically, meaning that if you get students into school, you can play college football? Even if you're online only, if you have students there, you can go ahead with college football. Am I wrong to view it that way?
Yes and no. I think more the universities want to get the students back on campus, because if the students don't come back on campus, the universities don't make as much money. You know, I know there's been a lot of, discussion about should universities charge full tuition for online-only classes. And I know a lot of parents and students have, you know, fought back against that. And so that's why they're calling it the hybrid model, which everyone will do, is you'll have some in on-campus classes and some will be online. So it's more to get the students back and kind of recoup the numbers that they get from the student body. Because Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, told me, you know, look, as long as the student athletes are taking courses, at least online, he said that's satisfactory enough for us to play football. You know, Larry Scott said, no, absolutely not. We need some general students on campus to play. But then he said some. Well, does he mean 100? Does he mean 500? Does he mean 1,000? I mean, I don't want to say that's the loophole, but that's kind of how they're gonna spin it. So the reason they're coming back early is because you're right. There is a big fear that this is going to spike when we get to the colder months in late November and December. And it's not necessarily the football season, because if it was the football season, they would start the season early. They can't do that. So it's more to kind of get the, you know, you want to be cynical. You're right. It's based on money. They want to get the money from the general student body. And if you lose those student fees and everything that revolves around that, the universities, you know, will be taking a big hit as well.
Brett, before we let you go, when we come back to college football in whatever form that it takes, and we look at the new normal for college athletic budgets, will the salary structure for coaches change? We live in a world now where strength coaches approach, you know, some guys are getting high six figures, close to $1 million. You see assistant coaches and coordinators compensated unbelievably well. How will this affect what coaches are paid moving forward?
I think we'll see a big, a drastic change in that. You know, and I know it's easy to say, oh, X coach made so much money, he's overpaid. You know, I still think, you know, there are exceptions to that. And, you know, Nick Saban at Alabama makes, I don't know, $6-8 million, whatever it is now. And people always reference his salary. Well, you know what? He's underpaid. And he has brought in 3 to 4 times that much money to the university. With new enrollment, with new students, with advertising, with all in all that goes into that. Now, that's certainly not the case for all 130 FBS coaches. But, yeah, we may see the strength coach not make as much money. We may see assistant coach salaries go down. I think even head coach salaries won't be as crazy high at some schools. There are going to be cuts all around. We were talking about the MAC earlier. They're not going to have, football players stay in hotels the night before a game. Is that essential to have a winning program? Probably not. So I think you'll see a lot of things like that will be either eliminated or cut back on. I think also salaries are going to be also be impacted as well. Maybe not so much at the behemoth powers, the Alabamas, the Texas, those sort of schools, the Ohio States. But I think probably the 80 to 90% of the other schools, yeah, I think it's gonna impact those guys.
Hey, Brett, thanks a ton. Really appreciate it. Very informative.
Thanks, Brett.
You got it. Have a good weekend.
You too.
That is Brett McMurphy. Interesting stuff. So we're going to shift gears. We're going to get into the NHL. Are they coming to Chicago? We'll ask Charlie Romeliotis next. It's Mullion on the Score.
That's hockey, baby!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Charlie Romeliotis works for NBC Sports Chicago, does great work for them, and we are delighted as he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Morning, Charlie!
Charlie!
Good morning, gentlemen, and a very happy birthday to you, David.
we were getting to that. How about that?
Thank you, Charlie.
The War of the Roses began on this date. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that in 1455. Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
I don't know if you covered that or not, David.
I just know Tommy John was also born on this day, so I know that I've always had that in common with him.
President Nixon arrived in Moscow for his historic summit.
My elbow
hurts. David, I always forget that we're 5 days apart, so it's a good reminder that my birthday is coming up, too, when you're
in the game.
We'll have to get Charlie. More gifts. We'll have you on next May 27th.
I might be busy that day.
It would be a great gift for David if the NHL could return, Charlie, especially
yes.
in Chicago. Is that what are you hearing?
Yeah, so the NHL PA Executive Committee had a meeting last night, to kind of go over the proposal that the NHL proposed to the players, because last week we had heard that both sides were starting to make progress as far as trying to figure out what a format would look like. And the players proposed something of a round robin tournament where the standings are weighted. And I don't think the NHL necessarily liked that kind of format. And so we saw the NHL kind of counter that last night, and the players evaluated it. So what the proposal is, it's a 24-team proposal. The top 12 teams from each conference will play on, and the top four in the East and West will receive a bye for the actual playoff contention. And so that leaves the 5 through 12 seeds open for a possibility as a play-in series. So the Blackhawks are obviously sitting there at number 12 thinking, okay, maybe we have some real shot to make a run here, because the previous proposals were very stacked against us. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. We're expected to hear the results today.
Well, Charlie, you had me at hockey. I mean, that's any type of return to the sport, and it's a bonus that the Blackhawks might be included here in Chicago. And I wonder, because the randomness of hockey is what makes it such a beautiful sport to watch, and I think it's so unpredictable. And I do wonder. It's a 24-team playoff, but the teams 16 through 24 still have a shot, because if they get hot, if they do play five games before the other teams are playing and they get on a roll, does that give them an advantage, and does it make it impossible for a team like the Hawks to be ruled out of a potential run in any sort of mini playoff?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't rule any team out, to be honest with you, because – it's not like these guys are treating this like the off season. I mean, they are mentally, but none of these players have been skating aside from some of the European players in Sweden. So like when we all come back and try to get into these voluntary skates and into training camp, this is going to be the first time on the ice for these guys in 2.5 months plus, probably even three. So I think it's really going to be up for grabs, and I think that's going to be the exciting part. But at the same time, I'm sure the players are looking at this like, well, we want this Stanley Cup to mean something, so that's why we would prefer to have as close to a format as a traditional format as possible. So that's why you're seeing maybe this pushback from the players on sort of making this fair. And obviously, if you're the Blackhawks, you enjoy this format because it really just gives you an opportunity to make a run where it isn't weighted standings. You win your play-in series and you get to play on, and then you can anything is possible at that point.
What about how are they going to handle, the Hawks had a lot of injured players. Is anybody going to be able to come back in this time frame? Are other teams looking at players returning that weren't expected? We know that in the NBA they talked about Kevin Durant. He's not coming back if they indeed do come back, but that would certainly change the way you would look at it in a different team. What about in the NHL?
Yeah, the Blackhawks are actually one of the teams right up there. I think they were top three in man games lost this year. And Brent Seabrook, Calvin DeHaan, even Zach Smith at the end of the year, Andrew Shaw, they dealt with so many injuries. And a lot of these players could probably get cleared to return if and when hockey does come back. And so, but I think the same can be said across the NHL. Like, there were a lot of significant injuries going into the playoffs. And so I think that's the one exciting part about a potential playoff when it does return, is that all these teams are going to be healthy. Like, they're going to be at full strength, and maybe they'll have to, I'm sure, battle some fatigue issues and things like that. But it'll be cool to see kind of a healthy lineup and all of these players and injured players, because the injured players have been able to access the team facilities and rehab still. They haven't been quarantined. So it'll be interesting to see how some of those players return and how the Blackhawks will be impacted by that too.
Is this a potential audition? Calling it an audition would be wrong. Does Jeremy Colliton have to prove anything if they return to hockey to feel better about his job security, given the upheaval that we did not expect in the front office with the firing of John McDonough and the future somewhat more uncertain than it seemed?
I don't know about that. I honestly think it's a huge internal evaluation. I think everyone is really on the hot seat at this point. And we've obviously heard that the presidential search is probably going to be a longer process. And so you wonder how, I don't want to say insecure, everyone in the organization feels about their jobs, but everyone feels, I'm sure, the pressure to perform, and maybe not as much so in previous years, because John McDonough was endorsing Stan Bowman, was endorsing Jeremy Colliton. So I'm sure a lot of these people are feeling pressure, and we'll see how this plays out. If the Blackhawks make some sort of miraculous run in this new format, does that maybe absolve some of the inconsistencies of their game in previous year? I don't know. So we'll have to see. It'll be certainly a storyline to follow when hockey does return.
If you think about Jeremy Colliton, you know, you start with the virtually impossible task of replacing a legend. You got to try to get your system sold to a variety of players, including some veterans that, you know, probably were slow to grab it. You've suffered through tons of injuries. Yeah, I don't even know that we know what he can do or who he is.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it from the beginning. He was obviously dealt a really tough hand, not necessarily in being Joel Quenneville's replacement, but all of the prime years of the renaissance of the Blackhawks, you felt like it was eventually going to catch up with them, with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, their larger contracts kicking in and having to get more creative on entry-level contracts and hitting on the draft. And so even Jeremy Colliton earlier this year tried implementing a newer system to limit those defensive zone scoring chances and the high-quality scoring chances. And then a month into the year, it just wasn't working, and he had to revert back. So it's like he still doesn't get that full opportunity of seeing what his system could look like at the NHL level. And credit to him for adapting, but unfortunately, it felt like they were playing catch-up by that point.
Charlie, in hockey, to guarantee sanitized conditions is a fool's errand. You're just not going to be able to do that. At the same time, I know the hockey mentality a little bit. I know that players look at the, you know, just give me some ice time and let's get the skates on and let's go. I have a hockey player's son that is not looking at this pandemic in the way that a lot of athletes, maybe you hear from Major League Baseball players, some trepidation in other sports. Is there any of that? How would you characterize the NHL players' approach to a comeback, a return, in terms of balancing the risk versus the reward?
Yeah, well, obviously, the financial ramifications of this, I think of any of the four major sports leagues or just any of the leagues out there, the NHL is the one that really can't afford to just shut down the entire season and try to move on to next year, because the players split the revenue out 50-50. And if the owners aren't making money, the players are really going to have to pay an escrow with their percentage is just going to increase astronomically. So that's really going to be a challenge. And so I think there is motivation on both sides to try to get something done. But at the same time, David, what is the risk versus reward here? And I like what the NHL is probably going to do. They are going to expand, I'm sure, their rosters to about 30 players. So if there are unfortunate positive tests throughout the NHL, it's not going to be a situation like it was in March where you have to shut down the league again. Like I would like to think that there would be some protocols in place. And we kind of talked about this on our podcast a few weeks ago about what a potential handshake line could look like post playoffs. Like, do you have to fist bump? Like, it's probably just going to be, you know, slapping mitts with your opponent at the end. So that's going to be interesting too.
Hit him with your stick like you would a goalie. Come on. do you believe that the NHL, more so than any other league, really has to come back? I mean, I've heard talk about their financial they could lose $1.2 billion, which they don't have to lose, and that could really turn things the wrong way. Is that out there? Do you buy that when you hear people talk about that?
Yeah, I do, and I think that's why we're seeing the 24-team format really pick up steam here, is because if you look at the standings on both the Eastern Conference and Western Conference, if you expand the teams to 24, oh, look who you got in there, Chicago, New York Rangers, and Montreal, three original six markets, and I'm sure they are big television draws in both Canada and the U.S. So NHL, I think out of all the major sports, are really a gate-driven revenue, where I'm sure the NBA and the NFL, those leagues can get by with people just watching on television, but the NHL is very different. It's a very loyal fan base, and I think you have to generate some sort of interest in the league, and you can't just scrap the season without having fans in attendance. You're going to have to try and get creative, and that's why we see the format getting expanded to 24 teams.
How you holding up, Charlie? You doing okay without hockey? How long is that beard now?
Yeah, I'm hanging in. I had to do a TV appearance yesterday, so I had to cut it down a little bit. But
saw that
it was getting itchy.
Looking sharp.
I would like to think it was my version of a playoff beard.
Good stuff.
I think everyone's allowed kind of a mad scientist look at this point. I don't think anyone can question it. You can get away with it.
I think it's weird if you don't have a beard at this time. Like, this is the time to actually experiment, so.
Who are you calling weird, Charlie?
Huh? I think only you, David.
David, you have a face for radio and television.
All right, Charlie. Thanks,
Charlie.
Buddy.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.
That's Charlie Rivelli. That's pretty funny. Yeah, they got a new team coming in Seattle next year. They got all sorts of plans for what they're going to do. I don't know, man. I like the idea of them coming back like everyone else, but the idea that they're pushing it because of what the financial status is scares me a little.
And I think there's an element too, Mully, of not wanting to be left out. You don't want to be the team that the league that doesn't come back, and they still don't know. It's almost like this game of chicken here. Okay, you got Major League Baseball here, possibly. You've got the NBA, probably. You got the NHL, maybe. But they don't want to be on the outside looking in if the NBA and MLB and NFL are making plans to move forward.
I think that when we talk about this, we've got to look at it from the 22 angry men angle that we talked to Jim Schwantz about yesterday, right? I mean, this is a contact sport. This is, people mix it up, and there's all sorts of issues that go on in hockey. It'll be very interesting to see what kind of rules they come up with. And the other element, David, is how long does it take to get ready for a hockey season, even an abbreviated one?
What time is it?
Yeah, I don't know many.
These
how many
hockey
players
guys
have
like,
rinks at home? No, but okay. how many? How many guys have rinks at home?
I don't know. That's a great point, but I'm not sure there's as much focus on that aspect in hockey as there is in other sports that maybe if it doesn't make any sense and it's not right, but you don't hear that as often, right?
No. No, you don't. Not from hockey play. You don't hear any complaints. All right, we'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
Nancy, how about a little happy birthday when we get a chance? We gotta do a great production here.
Happy
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. It's not my birthday too, but it is your birthday, and you say so. And happy birthday, David! It's
thank you.
Yeah. A glorious birthday in quarantine. We've been through a lot of them, and so happy for you.
I don't have a funny story about a McCaskey singing me happy birthday like you do, but thank you nonetheless. It's very nice to be remembered. On your birthday. Yeah, kind of weird with the quarantine thing, so you can't really, you know, what do you have planned? You going to go to the living room or the dining room? Oh, maybe the basement. You know?
You can go outside. You can walk out.
Yeah, definitely have those plans. That's every day, though. I mean, I think that it's been fun throughout this. I mean, fun that's a kind of relative word, but I think that being able to get out and exercise every day has been just necessary because if you're going to be confined to and this is we're lucky we're still working, we're still talking about sports without sports to have any results, but when you work in your studio that is your home for 9 weeks, getting outside is definitely something that we need to do, and doing it every day has helped a lot.
I like that you called it your studio. I don't know whether to think of you like in a room with like eggshell around you that would kill noise, or to think of you like in a little room where you're painting your studio. I'm in a closet, okay? So my studio isn't exactly ideal. It's just the closest spot to the Wi-Fi router.
Well, my studio sounds a lot fancier than it actually is because, as I told you when we started this, we used to use this for storage. It's attached to our deck. It's sort of an extension to our house. And so what you do is you kind of do what you need to do. And the first day of the quarantine broadcast, I was in our basement, which is right below our bedroom. And so at 5 o'clock, I was like, "Good morning, Molly. How you doing?" And my wife's like, "Are you kidding me? Is this the way it's going to be until until it isn't?" And I'm like, "Well, how bad was it?" She's, "Well, I didn't get back to sleep." So having known that afternoon, I was basically tasked with finding a better solution.
Yeah.
So this is a new spot. It's been a good solution. And so I will call it my studio forever because it is my little cubbyhole of a studio.
Yeah, I told you, I've burnt out all the light bulbs getting down here, so I'm now in the basement. I've got a little lamp that I've moved in, so it's really kind of pleasant lighting. I've been thinking I should light some candles or something, you know, get some very cool vibe.
A little mood lighting would be good. Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
It'd be fun.
See, has Blair gotten up yet, David? Because I know he's going to bake you the cake, right?
That's it's depending on how late he stayed up last night. You know, when your 19-year-old moves back home after living a college lifestyle for the last year and a half, you as a parent, you're like, yeah, we're adapting to him, and you forget, well, he's adapting to you, and he doesn't like your presence any more sometimes than you want his, so. Yeah, I think he is actually up. He's one of these guys that gets up pretty early and gets going. So I think I hear him around. But you can't hear my dogs barking, which is the beauty of this makeshift studio that you don't have to worry about because my dogs right now are barking.
Does that mean your feet hurt?
That's not a euphemism either. No. I mean, my actual golden retrievers are at the front door of my house. I know this, barking out the door because they are seeing somebody walking by and they want somebody to pay attention to them because they are so neglected.
All right, so we have decided to work on Monday. You will have the birthday hangover, which is totally acceptable.
Okay.
But will we have any information about economic proposals in baseball? Do you think this bomb explodes over the weekend? Are we waiting for next week? Are we going post-holiday on this thing? Do they want to be able to grill in peace in Major League Baseball? Or what do you see as the timetable here?
I think that what we're going to see in terms of Major League Baseball is news story about the reaction to the official proposal. I think that probably is as far as we're going to get this weekend. We'll hear. I would be really surprised if they don't exchange officially the proposal today or tomorrow or over the weekend, because I think that, and we may also hear about how May 24th is maybe I'm overthinking this, but it did come up yesterday in sort of reporting the Cubs story, with that's when the guaranteed money, or the money that was forwarded, advanced to for them to pay players, runs out. And so that's when things get real. And so I wonder if that will change the willingness to compromise or change the spirit or tone of the discussion. I would be surprised, Mully, if Memorial Day weekend, if it's not Monday, then maybe on Tuesday, if we don't get a little bit closer to either a feeling that this is going to fall apart or come together. But either way, I think we're going to have more to deal with in terms of tangible, you know, evidence to or cues or hints than we do right now.
Yeah, I was reading that, I think it was Bob Nightingale. Somebody wrote that there would be the financial proposal, or the, you know, their proposal would be presented today, that this was kind of a day they were looking to. Now, I don't know that they have gotten through all the health and safety. I don't know if they need to counter the counter. So they gave them the 67-page report, and there was some pushback, nothing dramatic, nothing to use a made-up word, either dramatic or drastic, but there were a couple of things that they wanted to straighten out. So I'm uncertain if that means today's a straighten-out day, or if they actually will give them the economic proposal. I would hope they'd get to it, David, and not just because of the March 24th date, but just because if you're going to start spring training, you're going to need to know that in the next week to 10 days, because you're going to need to figure out who goes where and how you get there. You know, I said this to you before, the idea of a 3 week or a month to get ready for a baseball season seems insane to me. You know, I just watched the Bundesliga spend 6 weeks getting ready, and they weren't in shape on their first. There were still some guys that seemed to be struggling in the first game that they played. So, you know, you worry about how pitchers in particular are going to react to this thing. That seems to be the one that we don't talk enough about.
Well, and the KBO has experienced their share of injuries in Korea by coming back and not having players in as good of a shape as they typically are. Those have been mostly hamstring injuries, which have cropped up. And you wonder if, while we're worried about the pitcher's arms, if it's actually the players, you know, the position players' hammies that are going to be the ones popping and you know, being something you have to keep an eye on, because those are the kinds of things that can derail a season or change the course of a team's kind of ability to contend. So, yeah, I think on Monday morning, though, Mully, I'll be curious to know which league has the most optimistic chance of returning, which in terms of our feel for it, because this is a big weekend for Major League Baseball, but also the NHL, you know, the Players Association is going to look at that proposal today, as Charlie pointed out. The NBA is inching closer to the Orlando model, and I think the NFL certainly is on the last one to mention, but I think they seem to be on track. But I wonder, does the NHL is that the league that on Monday morning looks like the closest to being, you know, able to return, if the players accept a lot of these proposals or the details included in the proposal today?
The league right now that is closest to returning is the NBA. The NBA is coming back. The players want to come back. The stars want to come back. LeBron supposedly running secret practices with the Lakers. They are preparing to come back. And I think that more than any other league right now is the only certainty that we have. But as you say, maybe that changes over the weekend. Maybe that, you know, you would hope that baseball would be back before then. But I think the NBA is, you know, mid-July is what they have circled. We've heard that all over the place. They want to have a proposal in place and everything locked down by June 1. So
do you think
if they end up being the league. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's because we're in Chicago that that idea, and I agree with you, I guess maybe reluctantly a little bit, but because the Bulls are what the Bulls are this year, and I know they've revamped their front office, there's a lot of reasons to hope, but that's next year. I don't know about if I have any excitement about them finishing this season.
I don't know, man. It was a really good NBA season, and there are three teams that are all kind of co-favorites.
Well, yeah, around the league. And,
yeah. Yeah, I'm saying the league. But, I mean, I just love the idea of Jim Boylan getting a last gasp to try to time out his way to keeping the job with the new administration over his shoulder.
That'll be his 10-part documentary one day, The Last Gasp.
Yeah, The Last Gasp.
The 10-timeout documentary. All right. All right, everyone. We had a great time today. David, a very happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Please enjoy yourself.
I will.
And we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
We certainly appreciate that. And our thanks to our guy, Dustin Rhodes, even if he's having a rare moment.
I thought our spirit was really good.
Good to hear, Jim. And Kevin Zipak, what a wonderful human.
Looking good on Last Dance, brother.
It's an all-time classic. And Ray, bless you, Ray. We appreciate everything you do, buddy.
Thanks,
and
Ray.
I tested very positively in another sense. So this morning, yeah, I tested positively toward negative, right? So, no, I tested perfectly this morning. Meaning I tested negative.
What?
Beautiful.
Happy birthday, David. God bless you.
Thanks, Molly. Have a good weekend.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
If it is to be said, so it is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.